It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Thank you for joining me once again for It's a Good Life. Now, we've been studying through the book of Ephesians, and we're in chapter 3. Last time we left off with verse 19, I read three verses together here, starting with verse 17, where it says, "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." Well, I think of Psalm 16:11, where it says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." We have everything in the Lord Jesus Christ once we've trusted him as our Savior. John 1:16 says, "And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." Thank God for his grace, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's all of God. It's all of Jesus Christ. Galatians 4:4 says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." Some people say, well, I wonder, when did Jesus come? What was the actual date that Jesus came now? You know, we celebrate the coming of Christ at Christmas. We celebrate that he was born of a virgin and that he was in that manger in Bethlehem. But some say, well, when was that? Well, you know, I don't know the exact day. I don't know the exact time. But I do know this, that Jesus came at just the right time. He wasn't early and he wasn't late coming to the earth. He came when the fullness of time was ready, when it was time for him to come, he came. There are no maybes with God. There is nothing by chance with God. Being filled with the fullness of God does not mean you have more of him. It means he has more of you. And the fullness of time came, and the fullness of God comes when a person lets God take them and use them for his honor and his glory. And I remind you once again, the only way that God can use you is for you to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jesus came into this world because the Father sent him. We go on and we read in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, "For in him," that's Christ, "dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." We see this word fullness throughout the scriptures. The fullness of time, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When we see Christ through the eye of faith, we are seeing God in the flesh. We are seeing God. Jesus, as he walked this earth, he kept telling people, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Heavenly Father." The Pharisees didn't believe that. Many people didn't believe that. And he went to the cross of Calvary. That is, Jesus went to the cross of Calvary. People did not believe that he was the Son of God. But thank the Lord, he is the Son of God. And all that who believe in him, all the who believe that he is the Son of God, that he is very God of gods, he will save the soul of that person who realizes that he is God, that he is the Savior. He came and he gave his life for people in this world so that they one day could go to heaven, so that when they trust Jesus as Savior, they have eternal life, never ending. Matthew 1:23 says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Can you imagine? I still have to stop and consider what's happened in my life and what happened to me personally once I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I became a child of God. I have the Holy Spirit with me right now. God with me. You know, Matthew 1:23 says that Jesus would come into the world. He would come and his name would be Emmanuel. And it's interpreted God with us. I have God with me right now. The Holy Spirit is with me because I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And we read in 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 14, something that Jesus wants us to know about. He wants us to know more about his love. It says, therein this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You see, man does not search for Jesus. Man does not search for God. It's God who searches for the man. God does not choose some people to go to heaven and some to go to hell. He comes in and he touches the heart of the person, and he wants his love to be felt. He wants his love to be known to mankind so that he can be the propitiation for our sins, so that he can take that sin away, past, present, and future. There'll be no sin enter into heaven, and that's another reason we need Jesus Christ as our Savior. That is the reason, because we can never go to heaven with sin. Jesus Christ takes that sin away once we've trusted him as Savior. Now, in 1 John chapter 4, we keep reading in verse 11, it says, "Beloved, if God so loved us," in other words, he gave his life for us, Jesus did. "Beloved, if God so loved us," and he did, God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to this world. "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time," verse 12 says. "If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." John the Apostle wrote these words. He had actually seen the Lord. He had actually been with the Lord. And he's giving us firsthand knowledge here. He's giving us a firsthand insight into our Heavenly Father and into our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ loved us so much that he died for us. He gave his life for us. And he rose from the grave that you and I could be saved. Now notice verse 20 with me, if you would. Ephesians chapter 3. Now, Paul the Apostle says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Well, we see here Paul's doxology. We see that he's getting ready to end this chapter. Paul, as we're seeing here in prayer, closes this chapter with praise of thanksgiving, intimating to us that praise should evermore conclude the work which prayer began, and that spiritual blessings most assuredly deserve our praises. Now I want you to notice how the apostle closes his prayer with thanksgiving and praise. Here he is announcing to us that praise should always conclude that the work of God is most importantly, and it deserves our praises to him. I want to read that verse again, verse 20. "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." He's able to go more than what we ever anticipate, according to the power that worketh in us. We're able to do more than what we actually think we can do sometimes. Sometimes we might make the statement, "I just don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to make it through this." But you know, we have the power of God with us. And we need to depend upon him, upon his power. And if we do anything in our own power, we're going to fail miserably. But when we praise God and understand that it's through his power that we get things done for him, and that he does things through us, and that he gives us the strength to keep on keeping on. When we do that, then we certainly need to be praising him, because he is all in all. When we talk to God, it's our duty to express our confidence in him, to answer our prayers with the power he has. In other words, "God, I know you're going to answer my prayer. I know that you're going to do what is right. And Lord, I pray this prayer, if it be your will, would you please answer this prayer?" Now, we know that God's in control. We know that God is going to do what is right. And therefore, we pray, "If it be your will." Now, we know God answers prayer, and we want him to know that we know it. And we tell him that we know that. Because why? Because we have confidence in him. Now, notice, as we let God know that we know that he is able to answer prayer, as Paul says, to do exceedingly abundant above all that we can ask or think. Now, prayer in this way will strengthen our faith in the power of God's might. You see, we need to let God know, as Jeremiah did in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 6. It says, "For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might." In our prayer, we need to praise God, and we need to let him know that we know who he is, and that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And he's looking out for us, and he will answer the prayer that's best for us, the best way for us, and the best thing that he wants to give us, he will give us. And those things that we don't need, he's going to withhold those things because they could bring us harm. Thank God for his power. Thank God for his knowledge, exceedingly abundant above all that we can ask or think. Verse 21, Ephesians 3 says, "Unto him be glory in the church." This is Paul praying now. "Unto him be glory in the church." He's praying for the church here. "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end, not only during the time that we live in, but through all the ages without end." Amen, Paul says. It is so. Now, God is to receive all glory from the church. Glory is to be given to God on account of his perfections. And these are to be celebrated not only in the age or the dispensation that we live in, but throughout all periods of time, throughout all the dispensations. A dispensation is a period of time that God is allowing man to take care of his property. You see, everything belongs to God, and he's left man on this earth to take care of his property. Man cannot do that properly without knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We can do nothing for God until we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Now, saved person, you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Are you serving him today? Are you doing what God wants you to do for him? Are you telling others about the love of God? Are you handing out a gospel tract to someone who needs salvation? Are you telling others about Jesus saves? Are you letting other people know that you're happy in the Lord, that you have all things that you need because of Jesus Christ? Are you telling people how God is with you and that how he can be with them? It's through the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Share that with people. Tell people that Jesus saves, that he wants them to be able to see him one day, and they can by trusting him as Lord and Savior. You need to tell others about Jesus Christ, about the wonderful things that you have as a saved person, that one day you're going to be with the Lord personally. Can you imagine that one day you will be with God? And you can tell others that they too can have the same experience of being with God one day in his heaven. And that heaven is ours for the asking. Lord Jesus, come into my heart.